Lord, in your presence, you have called each of these women here to encounter you, to walk with you. We ask you, Lord, to quiet our hearts and give us peace. And help us to believe and to trust. Lord, you know what is in our hearts right now. For some it's fear. For some it's love. For some it's just the opportunity to take this big step. So Holy Spirit, come with us and quiet our hearts and help us to believe that you are inspiring us to follow Jesus. Blessed Mother, be with us as we pray together. Hail Mary. Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Please be seated, ladies, okay? So just sort of the stat sheet. So 100 women, 25 new, thanks of you that took a step to come out on retreat with us. We tried to definitely make room for the folks who had never been. And there's a point to that, because we really feel like our part of the mission that God has put in our heart is to bring people to Christ. And most of you have never been here to Loyola. The booklet you got has everything in it. It really is. It's supposed to guide you. It's supposed to be a tool for you to make some notes. If you've never had a booklet before on a retreat, it's sort of like, well, you know, I've seen with women, they look back and they say, oh, this is where I was a year ago. This is where I was that time. So I really encourage you, the talks are going to be recorded, okay? And so we'll make those available. Thanks be to God, we've never turned anybody away because of money. Nobody. And so we've really made an effort to make sure that everybody got on retreat. And so we're going to have a little silence tonight. I'll talk about that later so you don't wig out on me right now, okay? And why? Because one of the things I want you to do is I want you to begin to hear what the Lord is saying to you. And when you hear what the Lord is saying to you, God can speak through the turmoil. It's just at a sick call today, and the person was very, very sick. But I visited him many times, right? He heard my voice, and he was all morphined up, you know. So I'm convinced that God speaks through us, but you have to have an open heart, okay? What I want to try to do with you is just sort of walk you through maybe a little bit of a journey of faith. And I'm not exactly saying the talks are going to be what you're looking for, but I don't want you to avoid what the Lord may be saying to you. Okay? I don't want you to pull back and say, all right, Lord, you're really bringing this up in me. And I don't want to deal with it. Let's talk about the other stuff. Why? Well, because that's what God is bringing up in you. Remember, whenever the Lord brings up something in you, he always does it in love. Okay? So if he brings up something, you say, hey, we gotta have a cup of coffee about this one. You want to be open to that. And I admit it's tough because, you know, the Lord comes in, you're like, oh, man, it's like the Darth Vader song, you know. Dun, 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 dun. And he's not coming like that. You're projecting that on him. You're saying, oh, man, he's coming and he's going to really let me have it. And what you effectively do is you block him. You say, I don't want to connect with you. I don't want to be relationally with you. Okay? So if all of you make an act of faith, even now, that you'll be open to that? Even in the simplicity of where you're sitting right now in your chair, even if you say, all right, Lord, you got something to say, I'll talk to you. You make that offer to the Lord, he will keep it. And it's a very beautiful thing. It could be about forgiveness. It could be about something that you're really afraid of that's kind of harboring in your heart. And the Lord will say, well, let's bring this up and bring this to my heart. And we're going to have adoration all night and healing prayers. And there's a little chapel up on the second floor. If you just want a little private space, it's fine. We won't expose there. I won't expose there and here. Exposition will be one place. Okay? So I'm going to read the first reading, page 10, okay? So what we did is we picked a few encounters with the Lord. So I just love this image of Christ walking on the water. Now, a beautiful way for me to look at the picture is, well, as a priest, I'm kind of like Christ sometimes. You know, I'm kind of reaching into the abyss of people's suffering. But I've also been the guy putting my hand up. As you look at that image, just right off on page 10, I want to ask you, where does your heart go? You know, does it go to Christ? Like, look at the strength of his forearm, you know? Does it go to the man that's drowning? Does it go to the water that's so dark and yet the sky that's so bright? And so the grace of faith says you have to reach up. So I'm going to read the gospel and maybe something's going to pop out at you and I'll give my talk. So Jesus has just multiplied and fed thousands and they're really happy. And Jesus says, well, this is a good time to get out of here. Right? Sometimes right after a miracle, sometimes after God does something really great, he says, you want to walk on the water? I mean, let's really test your faith. Maybe some of you have had that. Like, God's done something really beautiful. Maybe broke a chain or something in your heart. And all of a sudden he's like, okay, well, let's do this real faith thing. Let's just see that I'm just not about miracles. I'm about you kind of walking on the water with me. And so Peter's seen the miracle. But the Lord says, yeah, but there's more there, Peter. There's much more. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side when he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, but because the wind was against it. I love that phrase, right? The wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, right, the rising of the sun, Jesus went out to them and walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Right? That emotion just takes over. It's a ghost, and they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. And then Peter, to test his faith, I guess, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and I guess everything that was around him, maybe fear and doubt, he was afraid and he began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? And yet, you know, Peter walked on the water. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those that were in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him. They begged him to let the sick touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. So we have this encounter of faith in between two miracles, okay, according to Matthew. The miracle of the multiplication of five loaves, God feeds. And then right after that, he starts doing the miracles. If you were to look at your faith, not your practice of your faith, have you encountered times where you can say, that was a real God moment? Something really of God. We call that a theophany, a manifestation of God. That might have been sometime in your life where you say, I really encountered Christ. That encounter, which all of us have had, at least let's separate it really kind of from the church right now and other people, but like if you've ever had that, like, wow. It's such an overwhelming moment. You know, he's alive, like the disciples, right? After he rose, he's alive. He's not just plastic. He's not made of wood. That's an incredible moment. Because God takes the step to you. God always, with faith, it's a grace, it's a gift. Remember that? Faith is always a gift. Faith is a gift. And what the Lord wants to do is reveal himself to you. The Lord wants to reveal himself to you. Not an image that you have of him, not what the street talks about him, but he actually wants to reveal himself to you in a manner that you can receive him. And so faith is sort of this process in which Christ reveals himself to you. Remember, it's not your image of Christ that he seeks to reveal. Okay? He wants to reveal himself to you, not an image of you, not the smiling Jesus or the Bob Marley version of Jesus that I see down the hallway. He wants to reveal to you exactly who he is. Okay? What is the purpose of that revelation? So that Christ can begin to live his life in you. How do I know what the Christian is? The man or woman that's encountered Christ, and Christ lives his life in them. And so this living God that reveals himself to us begins to live out in you. It's quite overwhelming because God is beyond like the images we have. He's beyond my intellect. He's beyond my will. He's beyond what I define him as. God is actually that which gives you your identity. Do I want to know who I am? Lord, who am I? Who am I? I was recently talking to somebody and I said, so who is the Lord? Like, what's he look like? What's he do? And they had such a, I don't know, such a negative image. It wasn't really real. So, well, let's redo this, you know? And so we began to look at the readings of the baptism of the Lord and the Father saying, this is my beloved Son. This is the one I'm well pleased with. I want to ask you, what is your image of Christ? Because if it's not an image of love, of mercy, then I'm going to ask you to do two things. Number one, I'm going to ask you to heal that this weekend. Lord, I want you to heal what may be a false image of you. I'm not asking you to go theological. I'm asking you just to say, Lord, whatever is not of you, I ask you to define for me who you are. It's amazing. I know a lot of folks that have faith, But sometimes I don't know, like, what their image of Christ is. So the first thing is I'm going to ask you to define what it is, what your image is, and then ask the Lord to recast that image for you. I don't know what it is about Peter, but why in the world did he walk on the water? What encounter had Peter had with Christ that says, I trust you enough that I'm going to ask you to walk on the water? There was something that Christ had said to Peter that said, you can trust me to walk on the water. That's living faith. It's don't worry about the fact that he sank. Fine. That's all. That's humanity. I don't know why he thought he could walk in the first place, but he did. He took the step. I find many times in talking with people that they only focus on, oh, look, he failed. He only got 5 steps. That's not the point. There was something that existed already prior to Jesus walking on the water to Peter that said, in Peter's heart, I believe it's you. And I will call out to you in my struggle, in the waves and the buffeting. All of us are going to call out to someone when we're suffering. All of us. And faith says, if you give God permission, remember, it's a gift. God wants this more than you. Okay? The Lord wants this more than you. He wants you to just call out to him, no matter what you may be going through. Okay? And when you can call out to him, and you have to call out, help me, Lord, help me. Right? I actually believe that you begin to heal your definition of who he is and who I am to him. It's an amazing reality when you begin to really call out to the Lord. Christ wants you to have that confidence to call out to him. You know, whenever I kind of struggle, you know, like trying to listen in my prayer, there's an image of another apostle, John, the beloved disciple. Remember, he leans his head against the heart of Christ, right? Anyway, no matter how I contort my body in the chapel, I don't hear anything, right? I'm like, put a big cone there. I can't hear you facing the tabernacle. Speak up. I don't know. Like, why don't I just hear him? And yet I have confidence that he hears me. I know that if he hears me, then I have to listen to hear him. We are easily capable of speaking over the Lord. I got it, Lord. I don't want to talk about this. But before you were born, you listened. As I formed you in the palm of my hand, you listened. That is the heart of a Christian, to listen. Scripture is full of examples. Mary and Martha, and Mary sits at the feet of Christ and says, look, I'm listening. If I'm in relationship with you and I never listen to you, you're not going to consider it a friendship. I'm always talking at you. Father Dan, I got to talk to you something. I'm going to talk at you. You're going to lose that friendship. So I have to listen to you in order that I can know you. Faith is the ability to listen to what the Lord's plan is for you and to trust that he will bring you safely to a place where you can adore him. Notice the gospel. The Lord didn't just leave Peter sinking. He brought him to a place and he gave Peter the permission to adore him at that moment. Faith is calling out to God, listening for his voice, and allowing him to bring you to a place where you can adore him. To call out, to listen to his voice, and then to trust that he's going to bring you to a place where you can hear him and adore him and worship, whatever. And in the process of faith, I find a lot of times, first of all, I don't want to call out. I don't want to take that step of faith, even though the Lord is there and he's like, come on. Or if I call out, when I start sinking, I'm just like, well, I'm not going to ask for help because my pride gets in the way. Or even yet, I called out before, my kid was sick, or I was struggling with this, or where were you when this happened in my life? And I called out and I said, Lord, and there was no hand that grabbed me. And then sometimes when he grabs us, all he thinks is, well, now you're going to get scolded. But I think, ladies, if you can kind of journey with me in your heart and just say, yeah, do I call out to the Lord? Like with love, just in your own lingo. Do I call out to him and say, yeah, Lord? And do I trust that he's going to come and pull his hand out and say, come on, I'm going to bring you someplace. The ability to do this is just ingrained in your vocation. It's in your baptismal grace, you know. And when I find folks that begin to do this consistently, what happens is they actually help other people to call out to the Lord too. So your faith, which you may think is as small as a mustard seed, and the Lord just says, okay, come on, get out, leave it behind, let's go, walk on the water. You know, as soon as you get into the boat with the Lord, you're going to adore, and other people will sort of worship with you. It's a beautiful, beautiful image for me. And it just makes so much sense. And it's a lifetime, you know, it's a lifetime of these encounters. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, this is great. We're in the boat together. And I turn around and I go, where'd he go? Right? Next thing you know, he's telling me to come on. And there were so many moments of this in my life, you know, where I look back and I'm like, I don't want to do this. You know, even when getting back from Mexico, you know, you guys that have been with me retreat, I'm like, I don't want to do this healing stuff. Everybody's going to label me. Right? So I'm like, well, he's like, well, come on, take a walk on the water and let's do this. I'm like, I don't think so. Get somebody else. And now it's so funny because sometimes I invite brother priests and they're like, get somebody else. I didn't get your text. It's funny. If I text them about Redskin tickets, they get the text. If I text them about helping me with healing, they don't get the text, right? Thank God, right? But what I want to suggest to you is that, the Lord doesn't just give you permission to kind of walk on the water and then he puts you back in the boat in the same condition. You're actually in a more profound moment of faith. The significance of this is so great that I think the Lord constantly, not every minute, but constantly, periodically, gives you the chance to walk on the water. So when you get back in the boat and you say, I'm not going, and then you tighten that seatbelt, and he's going to do it again. He said, come on. But what he's going to do is he's going to do a miracle. And you're going to have to look at the miracle, meaning something powerful. Something's going to move, so to speak. And all of a sudden, he's going to say, okay, get in the boat, and you're going to go back to your same seat, right? Same spots, same seats, you call. And you go there, and the Lord says, wait, I just showed you something beautiful. Now, are you going to have the courage to come to me on the water? Because I'm going to come to you again in the mystery and the darkness and the struggle. Anybody can walk on placid water, but can you walk when the winds are against you? That's the miracle. He doesn't tell Peter, walk on the water when it's smooth or when it's ice. It's got to be heaving up and down the wind, everything against you. Your senses are overwhelmed. I don't know what to do, Lord. He said, come on, walk on the water with me. Call out to him. Call out. You know, one of my gospel passages that I come to sometimes, I go back and I meditate on the baptism of the Lord, you know. I go back and I love it when the Lord comes out of the water and the Father speaks, said, this is my beloved Son. Oh my gosh. Like, do you know that you are beloved? Like, do you know that when you were coming out of the water, so to speak, either out of the womb or out of the baptism of water, like the Father says, this is my beloved daughter. Like, you got to know that. And once you know that, here's the thing. Then whatever happened between that moment and all the rotten stuff you've done and all the rotten things that have been done to you, you know what? There's still the echo. It's my beloved son. Not because you're pretty, not because you're good at this. That's not what the Father says. It's very, very important. Because not to know this is to constantly seek affirmation. Am I beloved? Am I beloved? Do you like me? And all of a sudden, it's a constant. But the first voice that you hear coming out of the water is, you are my beloved. You must know that. And granted, Peter was maybe baptized. You know, who knows? Christ was baptized. But do you think Peter knew that? And that's why he walked on the water. My insight as I was praying for the retreat was just, how will people walk on the water if they don't know that the one they are going to has called them beloved? You'll never walk on the water. Why would you? Do you get that? You'll never walk. But through the grace of the Holy Spirit, right? And the cleansing of the sacraments, the Lord says, this is my child, this is my beloved. You know, you have to be willing to walk. I was reading this book the other day, and he said there's three steps. I was reading this priest book, a book by priests, not a priest book. But anyway, here's what he said. He said there's three steps. Ready? Number one, renounce yourself. Renounce yourself. Guess what that means? Renounce the false identification that you have of yourself. Renounce that. Renounce that false identification. You get it? You're abused. You're worthless. You're overweight. Renounce that. It's very, very important. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. The second thing he says is, take up your cross. Do what the Lord does, in other words. If you don't want to take up your cross, just follow in his footsteps. And number three, persevere. Follow me. One of the things I've experienced in working with folks in the 15 years as a priest is the scars, the invisible scars that are there in our senses caused by the sins of others and our own sins. So an encounter that is etched some painfully in your heart, in your mind, in your senses, in which you could see it, smell it, taste it, hear it again and again and again and again for some reason, over and over and over. I'd like to say to you that I would like you to have some authority to renounce that memory in that sense, in your five senses. It's very important. Otherwise, you may continue to allow, even against your will, that may continue to sort of grip at you and say, see, I have dominion. I can come here and do this whenever I want. So let's say you're a kid or whatever, and or at some point in your life, and man, you just had like something you really saw that was traumatic. You pulled up on a car accident or something like that, and man, you are like, I can see that. I'd like to say that I want you to ask the Lord to heal that. I think that the reason why Peter walked on the water was because he saw the face of Christ, and that's what healed him. Against all obstacles, If your senses are clear, you will see the Savior. Otherwise, you'll see everything around it, because that's more familiar to you. I'm familiar with winds against me. I'm familiar with buffeted. I'm familiar with screaming, the noise. I'm familiar with that. And instead of walking, I'm just going to lock in on that noise. I'm just going to lock in on that wind. And you know what? I'm not going to get out of the boat. But in helping people to heal, what I recognize is those images in my mind, my mouth, my nose, my body, that's got to heal, because otherwise I'm not going to call out. Otherwise I'm not going to see him. And it's a very important healing for you, because the Lord wants you to see him, not the winds, not the waves. He doesn't want that. He wants you to see him, and that's faith. You know the Lord more than you know the wind, because before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I need you to hear this. You are more familiar with the Lord because you are made in his image and likeness. You are not made in the image and likeness of wind, of salt water. That's not your image and likeness. But you can have a denial where I say, I will not recognize him. And I think that's actually part of a control issue in some of our hearts. I'm not gonna recognize him. And yet, that's more natural for you. Maybe there's scars and all that stuff. But the moment that you say, I renounce the scars in my eyes, my mouth, my nose, my ear, my body, my side, my shoulder, whatever, as God brings them up, I promise you, then you will recognize the Christ that's in front of you. Because it was so much easier for me years ago to look at that image and say, wow, that's a pretty big wave. But then over time, you know what? I locked in on the face. I locked in on the face of Christ looking down at humanity. I'm here to save you. Can't really see it there, but it was definitely illumined if you look at that picture again. And so there must be a willingness, first of all, to renounce the false stuff. If over the next 24 hours you just sort of said, Lord, I'm just going to give you permission to bring up stuff in me that I'm going to renounce. I renounce that image when I was called this. I renounce this image when I did this. I mean, actually, literally, like giving God that freedom, I actually believe that you will see and hear and smell and taste and feel actually more freely. You know, there was recently a time when I was blessing somebody, and I just gave them permission. You know, I said, I'm just going to bless your lips. It was beautiful to watch because they weren't clenched anymore. You know, there's a lot of sin and wounds. So I'm just going to bless your lips. And I'm going to give your lips a freedom to be free. You know, at that moment, you could actually almost sense like a liberation in her. All right? Faith means that you trust that Christ actually desires this for you. Because what happens sometimes is in the future when the other storm comes, you don't have to worry about how you failed. You just have to worry about that you got in the boat. It's always going to be the same hand that reaches for you. Did you get that? It's always the same hand. The storm will differ. It might be a snowstorm. It might be a rainstorm. It might be on the ocean. It might be in a dark alley. I don't know. But it's always going to be the same hand. The point of tonight's talk is, do you recognize the face and the hand that reaches for you? Because what happens is you can say, well, I'm not familiar with this. I don't know what to do. And you can fail and fail and fail. And I actually have seen where folks say, let's focus not on the wind. Let's focus just on the Savior. And then let him be the voice that reaches in and says, I'm here. I pull you out. And actually to do this, it's actually more natural for you to walk towards Christ than to walk away from him. It's more tension to walk away from Christ because you're denying your identity and your existence. I'm just going to give one more point and then... I've often thought about the heart of Peter in trying to digest why when he fell in love with the Lord and then he denied him, and so complicated. That's because he's a guy, right? Only guys are complicated, right? Hallelujah. So, do you know that the heart that God has given to us finds its greatest joy when it is loving and being loved? I mean, if I say, who are you? They're going to say, right, show me your heart. That gal has a good heart. Right? The heart is almost like what we identify a person by. They have a beautiful heart, forgiving heart. There's nothing more in your body, we could say, that seeks God, that seeks Christ, than your heart. In order to begin to recognize this, what I've asked folks to do, and maybe this would be helpful, is to recognize, Lord, how am I loved by you? We may sing this song. Do you saw that song, Jen, called Amazed? Do you sing that? We may sing that tonight. Well, anyway, they're singing it, you know, I danced over you while you were unaware, something like that, right? Like, have you ever thought about, like, how your mom and dad looked down at you, like, countless nights and hours, you know? They just looked at you, and they're just like, look at that dimple, like, just look, and look, there's nothing new. They're just looking and looking and looking and looking. Isn't that beautiful? Like a grandma looking at her grandkid, right? And the smile on their limited human love is overwhelming. Just powerful. Do you recognize that that is exactly how Christ loves us? It's not that you love him. It's that he loved you. In order to love back, you must first be loved. But not in a plastic way. Not in a way I keep the rules. I'm just talking about, let's cut aside all the rules and say, do I know that I am loved by the Savior? Do I know that in the identity of my genetic DNA? Am I aware? Because everything else will either follow or fail. Really. And once a woman begins to see this, it's incredibly incredible. She brings people to worship all around her. All around her, people worship the Lord. And some of you have maybe seen this. Where all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to love him. And they may fight you, or they may reject you, like, oh, come on, mom, whatever, you know. But they cannot deny that you love the Lord. And that is faith. When you allow the heart of Christ to love you and to for you to love the Lord. So, here's the goal. What I want to try to help you do is give God a chance tonight to just sort of like reestablish, relate this relationship with you. It's so easy as Catholics to just say, well, yeah, I go to church. Well, great. You know, I go to my mom and dad's house, but that doesn't mean I love them. Think about it. I show up at my folks' house. Doesn't mean I love them. Doesn't mean I give them a kiss. I'm there. I go to mom and dad's, right? Get off my back. I'm here. How many of us have siblings like that? And the other sibling that shows up, they bring something to mom and dad. They give them a hug. They give them a kiss. They're talking to them. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Not just a post in a building. I'm talking about to enter the relationship. And what I want to try to do is just kind of lead you there and see, number one, what's the resistance? Why do I doubt? What's, even right now, like, what's coming up, you know? Do I really think this is important, or do I think this is emotional? It's really not. I'm actually trying to bring you to the Lord and let him do all the heavy lifting, because the Lord speaks your language, I don't. And then the Lord can begin to work in you. So, Jen, can we sing that song and then... So I'd like you to think of yourself as, this isn't to seek emotion from you, just like, do I know this? So many folks have never thought of God like dancing over them. Or is it a communion call today? And sorry, that sounds cheesy. Don't play anymore. Okay, let me talk. It sounds like a commercial, right? Right? Obviously, this is not planned. But so I was at a communion call today, and I was like, wow, like, I'm dancing over this guy with the sacraments, you know? I just had this beautiful image of, like, me supplying for these two sick people, like, this encounter with God. And I was like, wow, that's it. Are they aware? One was pretty doped up with morphine. I don't care. You know? You danced over me. Like, that is the love of God. So, something to pray about, okay?